Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush. Sitting here in the basement looking at a video screen with Noel's mug.
My mug.
Here's your
drinking
mug.
Iced coffee out of a mason jar. I got a mug for a face and a jar for a mug.
Did your generation say like a mug at all, or was that completely
yes.
Yes? Oh, really?
That's as something as a mug. Like, you know, it was sort of a stand-in for like MF-er. Yeah.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, I had a feeling it was strictly Gen X.
Oh, that was sweet. We got that from y'all, I guess.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. It's certainly not a thing now, but I remember it being, I think I was in the crossover period where that was still around, and then mm-hmm. It kind of like went the way of, you know.
It went away like a mug.
That's just dandy, you know?
Well, I'm going to bring it back like a mug.
I think you should like a mug.
So, Noel.
Yo.
We're going to get going here. I've been in a bad headspace lately.
I saw just from the internet.
Yeah, such that I actually started last Friday with a complete news blackout and social media blackout sans what I've had to do for work.
Sure.
And I tell you what, man, I haven't missed anything.
Yeah.
Because I checked back in with stuff and things are still awful.
Well, it's not. If you want awful, that's what we've got for you.
Like a mug.
And, like I'm awful as a mug, Chuck. You know, but, I could see that. Like, it's sort of a cleanse, right? Like kind of like a, yeah. I'm with that, dude. I think I should do the same thing. It does is rile me up. I don't actually get any good information. It's not like, I don't know. It just makes me feel more powerless and afraid.
Same. So I can recommend it. It's been great. I can tell you that it changes nothing about the world to black out for a little while. I do think people should be informed, but you can also take a little rest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I found out Chadwick Boseman died days later.
Yeah.
That was a sad thing to learn. And that's why I didn't post about it. If people are wondering why I ignored that, it's just because I haven't been online. But that was shocking and out of the blue and really, really a big, big bummer.
What a blow, man. The fact that they kept it so quiet that he was sick and that he obviously worked a lot while suffering. And,
I know.
And it's just
brutal.
Did you see that video? It was like a thing he did on Kimmel. No, Fallon, where like people were thanking him on a video screen like for his work on Black Panther. And he's like waiting in the wings to come out and surprise them.
Wow.
Like, you know, and they all just, you know, freak out. But he just seemed like he had a real kindness and gentleness about him. And he knew how important that role was to, you know, people that look like him. And I think it was a really powerful, powerful thing. Powerful loss.
Tough stuff. And I feel like he was just getting started, really. Big time. Superstar in the making. So very sad about that, but I can recommend staying away from the news for a little while, even if it's just a day or two. It really mm-hmm. does a lot of good. I've been reading my Beatles book. I got a big, huge, the Bob Spitz Beatles book, which is like 1,000 pages or something.
Oh, wow.
And it is super dense. I'm on page 350, and they just met Ringo. So
okay. What's it like reading a book, Chuck? What's it like?
Oh, man, it's great. I'd love to read.
I bet. I mean, that's great. I think I've talked to a lot of friends about this, and it seems to be a pretty common malady these days, but I just don't have the attention span I used to. I get distracted so easily because of our whole ADD culture, and so much of what I do for the shows is like reading things in little snippets and little short form pieces, and I have a hard time pulling focus for like a book length. You know, it sucks. I gotta figure out a way around that, man.
Well, you got to make yourself.
I know.
Here's what you do is you get away from any screen. Like, don't even have your phone near you.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be tempted to get that dopamine hit.
Right.
So I go into my sunroom, which is lovely. Mm-hmm. And it's at night. And Emily's kind of mad because I've bailed on watching Dark with her for now. Because this is just what I need. So I go in there. I make a drink. I've got the view lighting set up in a nice dim manner, plus my little reading light. And I sit there for fucking 3 hours and read. And it's just as calming as you can imagine.
I bet.
It's great.
Sounds lovely.
Highly recommend reading, everybody. It's hard to believe that you have to actually recommend reading these days when it used to just be a thing people did. But yeah.
Remember Book It? That wasn't your generation. It was a thing when I was in school.
Familiar.
You earned points for reading certain books, and at the end of the year you get a pizza party or something like that. And you went to old school Pizza Hut with the salad bar and the weird stained glass kind of like lamp things. You know, everything's red. I remember that very fondly.
Well, Book It. You know what? When I finish this book, I'm gonna get a pizza, have it delivered to my house, and I'm gonna eat it.
Like you deserve it, Chuck. So I think the 50th anniversary of the White Album was the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's my favorite Beatles record. I know that's pretty thought of pretty uniformly as their masterpiece. I really like Magical Mystery Tour too, but those are my two favorites.
You know what? I love it all. I've always been a huge Beatles fan, but I'm a sort of a Rubber Soul Revolver guy because that to me was that very kind of dead center point between Mop Top, Please Please Me, She Loves You, and Weirdness that was to come.
Interesting crossover. It sort of has vibes of both. You know, it does. It's like, I like that. That's cool.
I love it. And it's crazy to think about, and I've said this a bunch, but the Beatles went from She Loves You to Abbey Road and Let It Be in like 8 years.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
It's
crazy. What a meteoric career.
God, man, can't imagine that kind of growth and transformation.
I found out about the White Album thing because there's an article on, I forget, Slate or something, but remember when they went to hang out with that yogi guy, the Maharishi yogi or whatever?
Sure.
The
Maharishi.
Yeah, exactly. And they and Donovan hung out with them.
Donovan. I love Donovan.
I like Donovan too. But when they came back from that, leading up to the White Album, apparently he told them, they had like painted their really amazing acoustic guitars with like psychedelic stuff, you know, and like made them all trippy looking. And he told them to sand it off. Because it'd make the wood sing more. It would sound better because it like dampens it if you have paint on it. And so they sanded it off. And the way the article kind of teed it up was that it was also like very symbolic of them shedding that like psychedelic twee kind of image and then moving into the super mature album. Not to say their other stuff's not mature, but the White Album, something about it is very each of them in their own at their best. You know what I mean? Like, even Ringo had a few bangers on that.
Hey. Ringo was Ringo. Great drummer. Don't love his songs, but they had a quality to them.
Mm-hmm. You don't like Octopus's Garden, Chuck?
It's fun. Ruby loves it. It's a fun kid song.
What's with his obsession with nautical shit? It was kind of a Ringo thing.
Was it?
Well, Octopus's Garden and Yellow Submarine.
I guess so.
Those were his, I think. Or maybe he didn't write Yellow Submarine. Yeah,
under exactly. The sea.
It's a goofy ass song.
Yeah, I think there were drugs involved. I'm not sure about that.
It's certainly possible.
And still not the definitive Beatles movie, Noel, since this is the movie show. There's been a lot of Beatles movies, but not the Beatles movie, you know?
Wait, I thought there was a really big one, the Peter Jackson one or something. No, not Peter Jackson. Somebody did a big one recently that used all kinds of crazy archival footage. Maybe I'm misremembering.
Well, he that is not out yet. He is, I think it is Peter Jackson. The Let It Be, taking the Let It Be sessions.
Okay.
And all the unseen footage from Let It Be. Because, you know, if you've ever seen the Let It Be footage, it's very much like abandoned disintegration, just sitting around arguing. But he was like, there's a lot of great stuff showing the Beatles enjoying each other's company and playing songs and collaborating. He said, and everyone needs to see this. And he's doing it. So I can't wait for that. But I mean, a biopic, man. Like, there's been some really good Beatles movies. Nowhere Boy was great. The movie about John Lennon and his youth. Backbeat was good.
Who played John Lennon in that? Anybody famous?
I can't remember. Nowhere Boy movie. It was... it's Jack Nicholson. No. it's Aaron Taylor Johnson. I know that guy.
Got it.
You know him. He's from Kick-Ass, I think. Wasn't that his movie?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Does anything pop off, like, for casting for you, for, like, a quintessential Beatles biopic? Like, you got a Paul in mind?
No.
Like, no, I don't either. Nothing comes to mind.
I think you got to kind of go unknowns. Mm-hmm. In this movie, Paul was played by Thomas Brody Sangster, who you would recognize. What was he in? He was in Maze Runner and Love Actually and some other stuff, but Nowhere Boy was really good. Backbeat was good. That was the story of Stu Sutcliffe, played by what's his face from Nowhere, you know, Stephen Dorff.
Yeah, of course,
he played Stu Sutcliffe.
Sofia Coppola movie. Yep.
Good movie again, but not the quintessential sort of Beatles biopic. It's a tough movie.
I hope it happens for you, Chuck. I really do.
I hope it happens for you, Noel.
I don't care.
Well, that is, that's one way to handle it, Noel. All right, let's move on then, since you don't care.
Oh my God.
I took this from the Movie Crushers page. This is from Brandon Weiss. I don't know if it's Vice or Weiss, but it is a post that I think kind of fit well with the topic of uplifting everybody.
Mm-hmm. I saw this one.
It was universally loved movies.
Yep.
Great idea. And I'm going to go bottom up because I've been getting a lot of grief from the Movie Crushers for reading top down and the same people getting spoken of on every episode.
Oh, right on.
So new old pals coming at you. Ginny Riggs. Hello, Ginny. She says Amelie. Pretty universally loved movie.
Yeah, it's got a heart. That's a lovely movie. Really is.
I don't know anyone that's like, Amelie sucked.
Totally. That would be someone I would not want to hang with.
What a piece of shit movie that was.
Yeah. Fucking gnome. What was that about?
Janice Bridges says Paddington 2. Noel, I've seen both Paddingtons now.
Whoa, we haven't talked about this. Holy shit.
Fantastic.
Aren't they incredible and delightful in every possible way?
Every possible way. Very, very good movies. Very well done. Very stylistically interesting.
Who'd have thought? On paper, it seemed like such a weird-ass idea. And then,
sure.
God, I mean, just handled with such care and just love. Oh, my God. I'm enamored by those movies.
Both very good. Grant Woody says, Away We Go.
I think it's
an underseen movie. I quite enjoyed it. Did you see it?
I'm looking it up. Oh, wait.
Krasinski,
yeah. Is that Maya Rudolph?
Yeah.
Who is that? Okay, no, I don't know anything about it.
Very good movie. And again, underseen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know anyone who hated it. Bobo Temple says this, and I have not seen Swiss Army Man yet, but I have heard nothing but good things.
It's awesome. It's wacky and just bizarre, and the fact that it exists is a revelation. It's really cool. It's a cool-ass movie.
It is a cool-ass movie. And you know what? I just realized that's so funny. I had two tabs open. I was reading from the wrong one, but it's kind of a similar one. Because I was, the next bit up was movies that just make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of funny. So those people that I just read, those were actually movies that make them feel good, Noel, not universally loved.
I think they kind of qualify, though. How do you qualify universally loved? Like, it's just like anyone you mention it to wouldn't have a negative thing to say about it?
I think so.
Swiss Army Man was pretty divisive, actually, I would say. A lot of people, like, didn't get it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the only one I think that doesn't work.
Yep.
But now that I found the right tab, we will continue with universally loved movies. Kari Nelson says E.T., of course.
Mm-hmm.
Who didn't like E.T.? You might think it's sad, but that's different than not liking something.
And, like, we wouldn't have the phrase penis breath if it wasn't for E.T.
Well, that's a good point.
Also a universally loved thing, phrase, insult.
Meg... Baskaran says Toy Story. Sure. Who doesn't like Toy Story?
Yeah, those definitely hit the buttons.
Ghostbusters, that comes from Andrew Reamer.
I would agree with that.
Here's one I think I might be... Yeah. This is sort of a joke. Nathan Nicholas says Star Wars The Last Jedi. But I think that's just a bit of a tongue-in-cheek.
It was, because that was particularly divisive of all of them. Like, the most.
Well, I mean...
Some of those prequels... The prequels are as a whole are divisive, but of the newer kind of next gen ones,
yeah,
that was the one the fans, a lot of them were like angry because they took it in a different direction that they didn't like.
Totally agree. Robin Simmons Watt says this movie is perfection in every sense of the word, and she is talking, of course, about the Tom Hanks baseball movie, the classic that I've covered here on this very show. Noel, can you guess it?
A League of Their Own.
Yes, there's only one.
That was recommended to me real hard yesterday. I saw it in the theaters, but I haven't seen it since. And I really don't remember much about it except that Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell are in it and that he says there's no crying in baseball.
Yeah, really good movie.
I want to check it out.
And I think pretty universally loved. I think that counts. Back to the Future is on here a bunch. Our old pal Zach Pointer talks about Back to the Future, and there are many, many people on board that. Let me see here. Meg Bascaron actually is on again, and she says, this is a pretty good question. I wonder which actor or actress appears the most on this list. And she says, my money is on Tom Hanks. Could be, because Big is on here a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's kind of a universally loved actor, although I think people might be suffering from a little bit of Hanks hangover syndrome with all these sort of real life characters he's playing lately.
Right. No, I agree.
He's kind of doing one after the other. And I think I'd like to see him change it up a little bit.
Totally. Let's have Big 2. The
Big
beginning.
Two?
Yeah, make another Big.
Where he
gets
interesting.
Small.
Well, I think the way they would handle that would be that he has a son or daughter that finds the Zoltar machine.
Zoltar, yeah.
Or maybe Zoltran. Maybe there's another one.
I like Zoltran. Makes me think it sounds like Soul Train.
The Zoltran.
Yes, sir.
Jackie Shehorn says Elf.
Yeah, you made me watch that recently, and I see exactly why. It's such a fun... It's not only a good holiday movie, it's just a good movie, and it has such heart, and it's funny, genuinely.
It does.
Yeah, I agree.
Let me see. Brandon Weiss, whose thread this is, says, glad to see all the people writing Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a bunch of Princess Brides. He said, sounds like I found the right group. That is for sure.
Aww.
The Movie Crush family.
Mm-hmm. Somebody posted something on the page just about, like, on a thread, thanking everybody for being such... I don't know. It was just like sort of like a, I'm so glad I found this community, blah, blah,
it's
blah.
Nice.
But like, it was... A lot of people share that sentiment on there. Really, really cool group of folks.
It is a nice little corner of the internet, Noel. Mm-hmm. A nice little quiet corner where people are almost always nice, and when they're not, they can leave the room, you know.
Totally.
You can get out,
stand in a corner.
Frank Bowman says Hoosiers. Frank, I love that movie. My only issue is that some people just don't like sports movies. I
haven't seen it.
Love you. Probably Gene don't Hackman, like sports though. Movies, right?
I like it when they're good. No, I weirdly I do.
Okay.
Like I certainly like I don't know. They're not like, it's not my genre, but I've seen plenty and I quite enjoy. I love Any Given Sunday, that Oliver Stone movie.
You're not into sports though at all, are you?
I'm not a sports guy, no.
Like literally no sports you like at all?
I think basketball's fun, but I don't follow sports.
Okay.
I would watch it with, I dated a girl for a while who was really into college football. And so I'd watch games with her and she kind of taught me. Taught me how to understand it.
Uh-huh.
And I definitely enjoyed it more when I kind of got the stakes and got what was going on and hung out with someone that was really invested in it, you know. But
I
it's not
you.
Really my bag, but I definitely think it's, I see the value in it, absolutely.
But you were just constantly waiting for halftime when the lovemaking sessions began.
Indeed.
Oh boy. The Gooch, old David Gooch, says Princess Bride, of course. And he said, I'm trying to think of anything other than that. And he said, but I can't.
It's a good one.
Paul Tagle says Raiders of the Lost Ark. Ooh, very controversially. Robert Iron says Chinatown. You know, Chinatown's pretty universally loved, but I think Roman Polanski, that stain.
Oh, yeah.
Will probably drive some people away from that pick.
That's true.
Know what I mean?
It's weird, though. He's still, like, I don't know, he hasn't made anything in a long time, but he seemed like he still was able to kind of fly under the radar and, like, have a career.
He
and
was.
Still get accolades. It's a little
he
interesting.
Was.
Yeah.
Joseph Bell says Shawshank. A lot of Shawshankers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's so funny, dude. Like, I had a call the other day about a Stephen King related thing, and apparently every piece of property, every piece of writing he has, every short story, everything is like optioned, like at all times. And it's like impossible to find an unoptioned Stephen King story or book.
Interesting. Yeah, I believe that. Because, I mean, take a flyer on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could wipe his butt on a piece of paper, I'd option it for $10.
Yeah.
Because you never know. That piece of paper could come alive. It could become sentient.
Exactly.
And attack my family. And then you got a Stephen King movie.
I love it.
Mary Poppins, that comes from Sammy Cahill.
Yeah. I rewatched that recently. It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Sarah Stapleton.
I watched the sequel too. The sequel was quite good. Mary Poppins Returns. It had the same niceness to it. I enjoyed it.
Now, was that the recent thing, or was there a sequel back then?
No, it was the recent thing. It was with different
Emily Blunt.
Yeah. I thought it was quite good.
I didn't see that. That was called Mary Poppins Returns?
It was called Mary Poppins Returns, which sounds a little sinister, kind of, doesn't it?
Yeah, she's here for you.
She's coming.
Sarah Stapleton says Jurassic Park, but she has countered from our old friend Linnea Barnett, said my sister-in-law hates it because dinosaurs scare her. Does she know dinosaurs aren't real?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be my question.
Well, they were real at one time.
Do you believe in ghosts, Noel?
Yeah, that's a big one. It's a big question.
I know. Do you have a big answer?
A little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. All right. I'll take that. That's kind of a cop-out.
It is, but it's all you're going to get out of me
all right.
today.
You seem to be hedging, but I'll allow it.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what if it's like if it's like disembodied spirits, but I believe in like maybe memories or some little imprint that things that once were living leave behind. I think so. That's why I say a little bit. I'm not quite sure what to call it. It's the same way that I don't necessarily believe in God, but I believe in like powers greater than our understanding. You know?
Yeah. I like that, Noel. And I think the movie crusher is like hearing where you park your garage, you know?
I park my whole garage in another much larger garage.
What garage you're parking in, basically, is what I mean.
It's more of a carport, really, but I follow.
I don't have a garage or a carport, Noel, as you know.
I do. You got a nice driveway, though.
I do. It's a new driveway. So we're going to move on to the original thing that I was reading, which is I asked for feel-good movies, but not – I was kind of looking for something deeper, not just like light and breezy. It made me feel happy. I meant movies that really like make you walk away from it changed and thinking like the world is good. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's a tall order.
You got
tall
one?
Tall ask. Well, I'll save it. I do. I don't know. Like we talked about this before. I did the interview segment with you about adaptation.
Sure.
Something about the end of that movie is as fucking batshit as that movie is. At the end of the day, I walk away feeling this utter sense of catharsis and wonder and like just bigness of the universe and stuff. I don't know. Like that. That's a big one for me. I always the end with the time lapse flowers and happy together by the turtles playing. It just leaves me feeling that way. Yeah.
That's good. Hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Bobo Temple says Swiss Army Man.
That's a great name, by the way.
Bobo Temple.
It's a band name. It should be.
So is Swiss Army Man uplifting and makes you feel good about the human
yes.
race?
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's a lovely movie. It's got a very similar energy to Adaptation. It's sort of screwball on its surface. It's got this sort of conceit that's very like on paper, just like what? But then they handle it with such heart and like enthusiasm and like creativity, and it ends up leaving you with that feeling of wonder that I'm talking about. It's very similar, very kindred movies to the work of Michel Gondry and Spike Jonze, and very much in line with all that stuff, which is some of my favorite stuff in the universe.
You know, that new Charlie Kaufman's coming soon to Netflix.
I think it looks awesome. It's like a weird kind of horror, but I don't know. It looks great. It looks awesome. Yeah. He's got a book, too, you know, like he just came out with a quite long book, fiction.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it's about?
I don't, but let me see what it's called, at the very least.
I'm sure it's a journey into the head trippiness of Charlie Kaufman.
It's called Ant Kind.
Okay.
A novel. Ant Kind.
Is it about ants?
I don't know.
He is a very interesting fellow, isn't he?
Uh-huh. It's about a neurotic, failed film critic named B. Rosenberger Rosenberg.
All right, I'm going to have to read this.
Yeah.
It's
720 pages.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm kind of looking over this. This sounds crazy.
Uh-huh.
I tell you what, he is one of the most unique artists that has ever picked up a pen or a typewriter, you know?
One of my favorites. And that whole same crew, you know, like with Gondry and Spike and just that real out there, just otherworldly imagination that just gives me like a sense of awe. Stuff like that gives me a sense of wonder and like feel goodery when you just art, you know, when you see something just done so perfectly and like, just like, how did you even think of this? Where did you even start? It's like magic, you know, that's the kind of stuff that makes me feel good.
Yeah, agreed. Thor Ragnarok, that's from Jacqueline Gulbrandson. Yeah, that's a feel-good movie.
It's a good pick.
Very good pick. Momo Hughes says Dazed and Confused. Sure.
Loving all these new names, Chuck. It's a great idea, reading from the bottom.
Bottom up, man. I'm sorry to all the oldest of pals, but you can sit down for an episode, right?
They'll have their day in the sun again. You know, in a top-down world, Chuck, sometimes you got to go from the bottom up.
Hey, I like that. Put that on a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Perry says, Searching for Bobby Fischer. Yeah, we did that recently on the show. Great, great movie. Love it. James Nordstrom says, Hamilton, does that count? Sure it counts. Why not? I mean, it's a movie now. Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, not really.
What do you mean, not really?
I mean, it counts, but it's not a movie. It is a filmed stage play.
That's not true. No, not okay. I follow. Okay. Yeah.
But I mean, I still say it counts.
Yeah, okay, cool.
As far as this thing goes.
Exercise, yeah.
Bobo Temple's back. My new favorite person. The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
You say aquatic?
What do you say, aquatic?
I don't know. I think it's potato, potato. I just it's interesting.
What do you say, aquatic?
Aquatic, yeah.
Yeah, I say aquatic.
It makes you sound like you're from Poughkeepsie.
Aquatic. Heather Colby says, what's up, Doc? Every scene is amazing. So many good quotes, too. That's a movie I have not seen.
Is that an oldie?
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, that's, I want to say Barbara Streisand is in that. Yeah, Barbara Streisand. Peter Bogdanovich. I need to see that. It's got all the elements. Is that Ryan O'Neill, for God's sake? Yeah.
Ryan O'Neill? I don't know. I need to brush up on some of that older stuff.
Do you know who he is? Or are you saying you don't know who that is?
I don't know who he is, no.
Oh, boy, Ryan O'Neill. He was the lead. He was a heartthrob back then. He was in the tearjerker love story. He was the lead in Paper Moon.
Oh, okay.
What's Up, Doc? He and Barbara Streisand, again, were on screen in The Main Event. Kind of a cheeky love romantic comedy.
I don't recognize him at all. I'm looking at him. Farrah Fawcett and Ryan, were they married? Seems like they were maybe married.
I don't know if they're married. They definitely dated. He was sort of a big hunky leading man from
sort of a Richard
70s.
Gere of his day.
Yeah, although they're not too far off in age, so
interesting.
They're sort of the same day, but he was great. He's a good actor. He was Barry Lyndon.
Oh, that's okay. There, he sure was.
And I knew there was a ref that I would, that you would get.
Interesting though, because I still don't recognize him. He looks different in that role because he's so made up and wearing like a wig and stuff, you know. I need to finish that. I only made it to the intermission, and then my rental ran out.
Oh, look here, my cousin's on the page. I did not know that.
Nice.
My cousin Stephanie Yancey said, "Life is beautiful."
Oh, God, yes. I actually wanted to watch that when my mom was visiting a couple of weeks ago. It is such a perfect, lovely movie, and I'm so sad that dude never went on to do anything nearly as interesting.
Yeah?
Maybe that horrible Pinocchio.
Oh, sure. My cousin's on here, Noel. I had no idea.
That's awesome, man. This is what happens when you go bottom up.
So, all right, Noel, we're going to move on and we're going to finish up today with a segment. We promised people that you would watch the movie Pretty Woman and we would do a little quick mini Noel segment, mini review, mini crush it, a mini, what do we used to call those?
Crush to judgment.
Mini crush to judgment.
I love it.
And I would love to hear how that went, Noel. When did you watch it? Set the scene. Who'd you watch it with? Give me a little, just give me a little background here.
Yeah, I watched it with this this lady I've been hanging out with, and
the lady we've heard about already, or new
lady? I've spoken of this lady. She has a very similar name to me, and she was delighted because it was a favorite of hers. And
okay,
you know, I admittedly don't go for the rom coms. I don't like just go, you know, bounding for them. You know, it's something that I always enjoy them if they're well done. You know, I definitely, if I watch one, I find myself getting pulled in. I'm never like eye rolly or like I hate this, but it's okay. Not where my brain goes, you know, with so much stuff out there. It's just not my like genre of choice. So she was thrilled because, you know, she obviously had a real fondness for it, and I loved it. I mean, I really did.
Okay.
It's really a sweet movie. It's a little, you know, it's like a fairy tale. It's a little bit like My Fair Lady. It's weird. I think it's rated R, which is interesting because that was that time where like an R then could easily be a PG-13 today.
Was it? It wasn't rated R, was it?
I think it was.
Oh, I'm gonna have to look that up. I don't see almost, how that's possible.
Well, it's got a couple of fucks in it. And I know you can get away with a few fucks now. Yeah, it's rated R. But I'm telling you, in 1990, like, I don't even know if they had PG, no, they did. PG-13 came along with Temple of Doom, I want to say.
Yeah, it is rated R. Holy shit.
It's rated R. There's one nipple. You see a nipple, a quick nip, a quick nip shot.
Richard Gere's nipple.
And they say fuck a couple of times. But it's not, there's nothing.
It would be PG-13 today.
That's what I'm saying. Easily. There's nothing overly like salacious about it. The only issue I have, and I don't want to sound like too much of like a, you know, SJW liberal snowflake or anything, but like there's just like a problematic nature to like she's hooking for the very first time, you know, and lands this gazillionaire husband who takes her away from that life. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
That's the only thing that maybe...
Bongwater wrote a song that addressed this. You ever know that band?
I'm familiar with them, but I do not know this. Tell me about it.
They have a song called Folk Song, one of the greatest songs. And part of the song talks about Pretty Woman and where she kind of skewers it. And this is way back in the 90s. She said... You know, I wish a rich, handsome man in a Jaguar would come along and save me and take me shopping, because that's what a woman's all about, right? Mm-hmm. Sucking and shopping. And then it goes, sucking and shopping and sucking and shopping. So, yeah, it is definitely a problematic theme of handsome man rescues the of course, back then you would call a hooker with a heart of gold.
Right. Yeah. I don't let you say hooker anymore. Sex worker, if you please.
That's right, but
that aside, it didn't like bother me. It wasn't like, you know, it was of its time. It really is. She's so charming. It blows my mind. I have a hard time with this a lot, where like she had to have been like 22 or something, you know, when she made
she's
that
pretty
movie.
Young, I think. Yeah,
yeah, and he probably was more like 40 or something like that. I would say
definitely that was an age diff.
A decent amount older, but okay, not to linger too much on this part, then I'll move on to some stuff I really loved. But it's also like, would he have treated her this way if she like wasn't Julia Roberts? You know what I mean? Like there's this sense that like he thinks she's so great and so special and all that, but like what, I don't know, like what is it that makes her, what like is it? I think she definitely has like a don't take no shit and kind of tells it like it is vibe, but a lot of that just has to do with like she's from this other world and everyone's just so like aw, like who the fuck is this coming around here,
yeah,
speaking her mind, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I love Jason Alexander as the pervy, handsy little lawyer fuck.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was in it.
Yeah, nice little cameo. So she was in her early 30s when she made this.
Oh, really? And okay. I believe, for some reason, I did the math, and I thought she was a little younger.
The difference between ages is about 20 years, 19 years between those two. So substantial.
I made a couple of notes and then I sort of fell off because I really got sucked in, honestly. But the first thing I noted was the Iggy Pop song, Real Wild Child.
Okay.
It sounds kind of like a faux Bruce Springsteen song. I sort of like ragged on it for a second. I was like, what is this like Bruce Springsteen light shit? And then I realized it's my boy Iggy, who I adore. But that was a weird period for him. It was much more like commercial kind of. And then I just wrote, those fucking boots.
Oh, sure.
It was crazy boots that are actually on the video box.
And that outfit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think there are certainly some problematic elements, but there are also some elements of, and especially people that are in the camp of pro-sex worker, and that can be an empowering and enabling job.
Yeah, but don't they kind of neg it in this, you know? Like,
well, they do, but, you know, she gets her comeuppance against the snooty Beverly Hills boutique who thinks she doesn't belong because of right. who she is. Yeah, it's interesting. The messages are sort of all over the place.
But she only belongs because she all of a sudden has cash.
Well,
that
that's true.
Hers. You know what I mean? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
No, like, I know. It's a movie of its time.
Yeah.
Which is to
very,
say,
very materialistic. Like, you know, the dude, the Richard Gere's character, he's kind of a douchebag. Like he's not. Let me rephrase that. Like he's of the type of person that he is, which is what, like a venture capitalist, basically. Like he just kind of has this soulless job where he just like takes other people's companies that they've worked their whole lives multi-generationally and then just flips them, takes them apart. And he talks about that. And, you know, his character changes too, though. And that largely is because she shows him, you know, that there are other things in life besides just like being a shark, you know, and he ends up doing something nice for one of the people whose company he's like been like really gunning for.
True. I will say, though, he's not the most likable character for a lot of that movie.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to say he's a douchebag, but he's got that entitled thing, you know, and he wants everything to be the best. You know, he's not very
charming.
Not really. He is when he's playing the piano, though, and he's got his tie half off and he's entertaining like the wait staff that are all sticking around like in the
That's
restaurant
true.
and then like they have hot sex on the piano. But then he also dismisses all of them. They're like, can you give us the room, please?
And yeah. Then, yeah.
And she's like, you're used to people doing exactly what you say, aren't you? And then
right.
he lifts her up and bangs her on the piano. So,
yeah. Very mixed messages.
Yeah.
It's a movie from 1990, like in every way, you know,
mm-hmm. Which is so funny. And this is just such an obvious statement, but like movies from 1990 were basically still 80s movies. You know what I mean? Like it's got
sure.
the hair. It's got a lot of those vibes. Love the Hollywood Boulevard shots. I think you see the Frolic Room quickly. You definitely see the Pantages, and I'm super familiar with that area, and it was nice to see that. Hank Azaria makes a weird quick flash in the pan appearance, like as a cop at the very beginning, and then he's gone.
Oh, really?
I thought he would be more
I noticed that.
You know, in like a main character.
Well, he wasn't even a big thing then, though.
That's right. It makes sense. I just think of him so fondly because of all his voice work. Corner like it's on rails. He's driving his lawyer's car. And he can't drive a stick. And like, she gets in the car and she it's a Lotus, I think is what it is. And she says, man, I bet this thing corners like it's on rails. And I'm like, I don't even understand what that means.
And you never heard that term?
No. What is like on like a train track? What is corner? Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what it means.
Okay.
It's a term.
I never heard of it before. And he hadn't either. And then he uses it again later to impress his lawyer. He kind of repeats it, you know? He said, yeah, that thing corners like it's on rails. She's from Milledgeville. Do you remember that? She says she's from Milledgeville, Georgia.
Did she say that?
Yeah.
In the movie?
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding.
Yep, she's from Milledgeville.
That's crazy and weird because Julia Roberts is from Smyrna in real life.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Smyrna, Georgia. And I'm surprised she didn't say, hey, can I make this Smyrna since I am actually from Georgia instead of this weird town that no one has ever heard of?
I think maybe Milledgeville just sounds more quaint.
It is. Smyrna, you ever been to Milledgeville?
No, I've heard not great things.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is.
Not to yuck anyone's town or anything. Isn't that where there's a college there, right? Isn't that where, like, what is it?
Yeah. can't remember which one, like Middle Georgia or something like that. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's on the Lake St. Clair. All right, Noel. So give me thumbs out of five thumbs in the context of when it was made. What are you going to give it?
I'd give it like four, three and a half, 3.75 thumbs. All right. I very much enjoyed it. It's light junk food of a movie. You know, it's not like anything cathartic happened or I walked away feeling changed. Mm-hmm. Not that has to be the criteria for any movie has to do that. It definitely accomplishes its goals. Is it Gary Marshall? Yeah. Gary Marshall, right? And then is Penny Marshall his sister?
Yeah.
And she's done a bunch of stuff, too. I heard the best interview with Barry Sonnenfeld the other day on NPR. He used to be a cameraman, and apparently he was shooting a movie for... he's an interesting character, by the way. He's got a book out about his life and really fascinating, weird dude. But he was saying, Penny Marshall said, I tried to fire you, but they wouldn't let me. And she goes, they told me you were good, but I don't think so. It was pretty great.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah, but 3.75. I definitely enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. I love the music. There's a lot of good, like, big music moments. Like, what is it? I Want to Know What Love Is? No. What is that
in there?
There's a big schlocky 80s. Hold on, let's see. Pretty Woman soundtrack. Big moment.
I know. It Must Have Been Love.
Must Have Been Love. But it's over now.
Hey, pretty good song.
I must have been man. Yep. I had to give them some points for restraint for not just blasting Pretty Woman repeatedly. they used it just once, and they used an instrumental little splash of it at one point, but that was it.
That's great. So you give it three thumbs and one thumb that was slammed in a jewelry box by Richard Gere.
Exactly. He's like,
all right. Well, I think we should keep this up, these movie challenges, and maybe you can challenge me for one next time.
Yeah.
And I will watch one of your favorites.
Okay.
That you've been harping on.
Have I been harping?
You know, like, why haven't you seen that yet, Chuck?
Oh, I can't think of what that would be, but I'll rack my brain.
I think they're movie crushers now.
Okay. They know. Do you know? Are you being coy? Is there something specific?
Oh, I can think of a few.
Okay. All right.
But this is your challenge, Noel.
Game on. Game on, Chuck.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And we will see you next Monday.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.